Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the first episode of the off-season of the Roma Press Podcast following Roma's 2023-2024 campaign. It is in the books. I'm getting tongue-tied because I am still trying to get over the emotions of being so excited of us finally getting a break. This will probably be the first one, Andy, where we are cognizant. There's no emotion involved. We are going to seem far more relaxed. No substances were involved during the recording of this.
No.
It is just what happens. It is just what happens when the season is over and you are finally relieved of the torture. Everything, the food smells better, the wine tastes better. Everything goes more smoothly. Before we get into this season diagnosis and season review, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress to join the group chat, get early access to episodes, a lot of other things as well. patreon.com/RomaPress. And as always, at @IsRomaPress on YouTube, on social media, like, subscribe. We would greatly appreciate it. And of course, a thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Vuk Bojanovic. We appreciate your support. And again, to all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress. Okay. Season over. I was going to say Serie A season over. We can breathe now. But did you take in any of Olympiacos Fiorentina? I thought...
Just the last 30 minutes, so the best part. Just the last 30 minutes. So just the downfall of Vincenzo Italiano, who once again crumbles in the most spectacular fashion, like an antithesis of everything that he did last year. The way last year he risked it all. This year he didn't risk it all, and he still ended up losing. So it felt good. It felt good also to see Andrea Belotti. You know, it's so funny because you'd say, what's the link between yesterday's final and the final in Budapest last year? Well, first of all, it's Olympiacos coach who manages to do more than what Jose Mourinho did at Roma, which is to get to two consecutive European finals and win both of them. And then you have Andrea Belotti, who makes it to two consecutive European finals and loses both of them. So that was a wonderful little trivia for any Roma fan out there who just wanted to enjoy himself as Fiorentina exactly once again let the game slip away in the final minutes. Just nobody does it better than Italiano. Nobody.
Yes, that's true. It was nice to see, first off, come clean. Did you know that Stevan Jovetic was on Olympiacos before you saw that?
I didn't know that. No, only in the celebrations.
If there was like some blind bet being made, then I had to, my entire life was based on whether this answer was correct or not, as to whether or not Stevan Jovetic was still playing professional football. I would have thought if he was, it would have been in like Cyprus. I mean, the fact he is even in a remotely notable league is, I guess, a testament to the talent he once had. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it was fantastic to see Italiano in spectacular fashion. Because do you remember last year's final? You will recall he also lost it in the 90th minute.
Yes.
It is absolutely spectacular stuff to watch. And you will recall, because listen, in order for us to make ourselves feel better, we obviously have to make fun of the others and have some fun at their expense to build ourselves up like most normal people do. They were in fourth place at one point. Do you remember that? Do you remember that Fiorentina were actually in fourth position at one point. Oof.
Yeah.
It's only right now that he goes to Bologna, yeah? That is, he's being tipped as a guy to replace Thiago Motta. Seeing him in the Champions League final, the cognitive dissonance of that might put me into the ground.
I think that for Bologna, the things are not looking good. You know, losing Thiago Motta, potentially losing some of their top players in Calafiori, for example. And then in addition to that, getting Vincenzo Italiano on the bench, that's a recipe for disaster. So Bologna better hope that Sartori, their sporting director, continues to find gems in the rough, because with Vincenzo Italiano in the Champions League, it can get ugly pretty quickly.
Well, speaking of ugly pretty quickly, that is a great transition. So let's do this diagnosis of Roma's season. I don't want to say review, because review implies that we want to relive beginning to end and give like highlights, lowlights. I'm still not in a position. I'm still far too scarred to go through every single match. To me, this season felt like 3 or 4 and 1. I would say there are some very vivid moments. This season felt split into 4, in my opinion. You had that absolutely shit beginning, the first 2 months, I would say, which includes some of the gems like Salernitana, Verona, home to Milan after giving the unveiling of Romelu Lukaku in, you know, like this Hollywood sort of welcome in which only the Friedkin group would be capable of. Then after that, we have like October to January was just, I don't even know how to exactly define it or describe it.
A death march.
Yeah, it was. I almost wanted to say marathon, but marathon implies you're moving somewhere.
And you're running. And it means that you're running. Roma were not running.
No, this this just felt like a prolonged torture stretch. October to January was horrible. If you think of that, take those first two periods combined, okay? Can you recall the only single positive moment, in my opinion, is that match, that victory over Napoli, no?
Yeah, Empoli. Empoli was where Renato Sanchez scores, right? And where we go on this incredible, we score 7 goals, and it seems like finally Roma under Jose Mourinho have learned to open up and become a free-flowing attacking team. Only to get humiliated repeatedly in the coming weeks. And it really felt, by that point of the season, it really felt like we were heading towards a clear end point. But I don't think many of us wanted to admit it. I think the two of us didn't want to admit it. The signs were there, but we kept prolonging it. We kept getting those draws. Remember the draw against Fiorentina and the excuses that Paulo Dybala got injured. Then we get the match against Napoli, probably the last highlight under Jose Mourinho. Then we get the match against Cremonese in the Coppa Italia, which we barely win. Oh. And even that felt like we just extended our death march by 1 mile, one more mile. And then we would get executed right after that, because then we got Atalanta. We had what else did we have? We had Atalanta. We had the Lazio, and then in the end we had the Milan, which marked the final game of the Jose Mourinho tenure. But yes, now that you say it, if I have to like take a closer look at those opening 5 to 6 months of the season, what comes across clearly is that we never turned it on. Like, we never got to a point during those first two stretches of the season, we never got to a point where we felt like the team was on. and that the team was in tune with the manager's ideas, that the team knew, first of all, what the objectives were for the season. It really felt like Roma were sort of wandering aimlessly, both in Europa League and in Serie A, because if you recall, the performances that we saw, you know, in Europa League were not that encouraging. Obviously, the Slavia Praha defeat, the terrible, some of the really dreadful performances, as always, in the group stage, which seemed inevitable. But still, you kind of thought, well, if they're not really giving it their all in Serie A, they're going to give it their all in Europa League. And instead, Roma just said, no, we are not capable of it. At least we don't have it right now in us. And it just kept that moment. We kept waiting for that moment where the team would finally show that they've got a grip on the situation. Instead, they kept losing it. They kept losing the grip. It almost felt like it just, you know, we were being baited into believing that this team could do something. And time again, they just said, nope, we don't have it. Nope, we're not up to it.
I mentioned this, and I have to bring it on again because I have the actual statistic. The record of Roma, and I put it in the group chat, over the previous 6 years, okay, against teams that finished ahead of them. So I will say this very slowly. If you are operating any heavy machinery, if you are cutting up some food right now in your kitchen, put down the sharp objects. If you are standing, you may want to sit to hear this. It's bad. It is bad. We all, listen, before I talk about this, for years now, there has been this thing of Roma in big matches. We all know with Paolo Fonseca, that was one of at least my favorite talking points, how it just seemed like Roma could never beat the head-to-head, the teams that they are directly fighting for a top four place. And I added this caveat to it. You can lose those matches. If Roma, you lost every single game against the teams that finished top four this season, lost every single game, fine. You can do that. You better not drop points at home to Salernitana. You better not lose away to Verona. You better not drop points to Lecce, to a shit Torino team. We can go on and on and on and on. So while this is a big problem, obviously, I would say the bigger problem is they just do not have the awareness. Okay, well, we lost those. We need to get points here. That sort of mindset just does not seem to be present, which you can't have both. If you're going to lose every single match to Inter, Juve, Milan, Atalanta, okay, fine. You better beat all the provincials. You absolutely better. So that's what makes this statistic hurt 50 times more. So Roma, over the previous 6 years, their record against the teams that finished in front of them, okay? 6 victories, 22 draws, 34 defeats.
Jesus
Christ. Let me say that again. 6 wins, 22 draws, and 34 defeats. You don't need to be good at maths to just, in your head, you can read that and understand how shit that is. That is almost, that's almost 2 seasons worth of matches.
Games,
That's almost two full seasons.
2 seasons, yeah.
Right. And 6 victories, you are down into Serie B at that point. When I first read that, it was a psychological, and then it went down to a physical reaction, because you can't make that up. And by the way, that is one thing. Anytime I see the stuff that we get from the stands of Jose Mourinho on social media, when they are just absolutely pounding you and I into the notifications, It's funny how that data point never gets brought up. And now listen, if it does get brought up,
it's because the reasoning is, well, the players were shit, so what did you expect? But one could argue that what Paulo Fonseca had at his disposal was even more, you know, unfavorable when facing the teams above you in the league at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's different when you're doing it with Nikola Kalinic, okay? Come on. Let's be serious here. So when I read that, the level of depravity to which all of us have collectively been subjected to with that is absolutely paralleled to anything else we have had to see. And again, as shit as that is, you can do that. That's fine. There is no shame in losing to Inter or to Juve. You can't drop points in the very first match of the season that is at home and is sold out Olimpico to Salernitana.
Remember what Mourinho said? Remember what Mourinho said about Salernitana at that point? What did he say? What did Mourinho say about Salernitana? He said Salernitana could aim for a spot in Europe this season. Where did Salernitana end up at the end of the season? Bottom of Serie A. Straight back to Serie B, and now they're in talks for an ownership change. That's how bad they were this season.
Yeah. Yes. We had to have known right then and there was going to be a problem. That match still lives so vividly in my mind, not only for Andrea Belotti scoring his first two goals and you and I thinking for about half a minute that, oh my God, this is happening. He's back. He's back, baby. Here we go. Here we go. We get the real Andrea Belotti. Which was quickly dashed by Kondreva doing, I will say, one Euro goal and then one Rui Patricio. That match, when you go goal for goal, had all the hallmarks of what a warning sign would be defined as, because we saw Rui Patricio making it abundantly clear he's finished. We saw Kondreva doing two goals to which I don't even know if he scored the remainder of the season. Maybe he did. And then we saw again Belotti giving us one of the greatest false senses of hope and security that I think we've ever seen in a player in a long time. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, this is simply a guess, I think he only scored one league goal after that, correct?
Yeah,
might be incorrect.
Yeah, no, yes. I don't know if you've seen the season he's just had. I was watching yesterday the Olympiacos game, and Belotti has just turned into, I think, probably one of the worst strikers I've ever seen in my life. No joke. This is no joke. I've seen a lot of bad strikers, especially at Roma over the years. Belotti might just be among the top three in how bad he's become now, like completely incapable in goal. So to me, that's just something that I would have never expected from a guy that led Torino for so many years as their only option and continued to go into double digits despite really, really bad teams around him.
Horrible. And what makes it, I won't say funnier, but perhaps more depraved. Do you remember the saga of him having to come to Roma? He had to wait and to wait
2 months.
And to wait 2 months. Before Roma. Yes, 2 months, where it was one this very bizarre. He's joining Roma. He's kind of going to Roma. He's already a player, sort of, but he's training in the Italian capital. He's already
He's training on his own in Sicily and stuff like that. And just like, what are we doing? You know, and it really felt like, oh, that's a great backup option. And it was, in theory, it was. This is a guy who had. This is a guy for whom yes. Milan had bet. For whom Milan, I think, had proposed at some point like 60 million euros, something like that. In Torino, were asking yes. 100 million. I think it was 2017, 2018, something like that. And now look at him, and look at how his sort of career completely derailed after that move to Roma. I think just he never recovered by how that move came about, by those 2 months of waiting and waiting and waiting. And so I think perhaps Belotti's time at Roma is quite emblematic of how Roma have been doing up until the Daniele yes. De Rossi's arrival, and how, you know, because even with Belotti, like with Roma in the first half of the season, we kept fooling ourselves. We kept waiting for some kind of reaction that Roma were going to actually show up. Just like we thought that Belotti would show up in his second season at Roma. Remember that miss in the Europa League final in Budapest?
Yes.
Remember, that's a yes. huge miss. That's a huge, huge miss that goes into the record for that match, which was full of those misses, including Tammy Abraham, Chris Smalling, and so on. And we thought that after that game, he'd recover. That, oh, he needs only a preseason, kind of like Roma. Oh, well, they just need to get their heads straight after this loss against Sevilla in Budapest, and we'll see what these guys are made of. It never came about. And Roma, just like Belotti,
no.
continued to struggle, 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 and come away empty-handed.
Well, let's continue this, because we wanted to go through the best and the worst of the season. I would say, without doubt, Belotti, looks so much worse, because I have to be honest, I thought he would go to Fiorentina and do well. Let me rephrase, relatively well, especially for, Italiano, the way they play, just so open.
I agree. I also thought he, and remember, one of his first games was against Roma with Fiorentina, and yes. I thought he was going to torch us.
And he was, yes, but he did do well. Do we remember that? He did well in that match. So it's more of an indictment on him, I think, at this point. But who else for you was among the worst? Because after we do worst, best, we want to get into what the top needs are for the summer, which is going to be, some people will say an entirely new 11, but we have to be realistic. And I think that is something that this summer is going to be especially necessary for everyone, balanced, but also realistic. I mean, the worst of the season, the first thing my mind goes to is, when you have three right backs, you really don't have any. That's where I go to first. I also go to Rui Patricio in the first 6 months. We can be complaining and bitching about everything here about the season, but let's just call it for what it is. Svilar plays even two to three weeks more, because if we remember that December, before Jose Mourinho goes, I think Roma beat the Napoli, and that was it, because that was that stretch where they played Bologna, Juve, and they didn't get Atalanta. They didn't get anything. They got the win over Napoli, and that was it. So if you put Svilar in there just by an extra few weeks, I absolutely unequivocally believe Roma finish ahead of Atalanta, but tough. It didn't happen. And Rui Patricio was horrible. He
was. Yes.
The thing I have difficulty reckoning with is he was so good in the first season. So good.
Best goalkeeper in the reliable. Conference League that season. Yeah. He was voted best goalkeeper of the Conference League.
So incredibly reliable. Good on the ball, a very calming presence. And then season two, we started to see some bad habits, I think, come into play.
The first cracks.
There were quite a few bad moments. Nothing like what we saw in these first 4 to 6 months of the season. I mean, he was so poor. And again, that first, that very first match against Salernitana, it was the second goal. It was the second goal. I think it was the second goal of Cantareva. He completely misplays the trajectory of the ball. He's out of position. And there are so many moments in those first 6 months where you can say to yourself, wow, he costed Roma points.
And yeah, so I would and, put and him again, and again, with him, it was also, oh, well, there has to be a reason as to why Mourinho keeps starting him, right? Like, there has to come yes. that moment where he has that convincing performance and we're all proven wrong. And we can all go back to not hating him.
Yeah, exactly. And that never came. In fact, I can't even recall one of those matches where it was him. I mean, think of Svilar, okay? Think of him, okay, against Feyenoord. I mean, the guy is, he wins that for you in the penalties on his own. Spectacular. Svilar made an impact the moment Daniele De Rossi tells to him, it's you now. I will never forget, because I think it was right after Feyenoord, yeah, where he begins to start in the league. Or am I incorrect in that?
Yes, no, you're correct. You're correct. You're correct.
So they get Feyenoord in the playoff. Svilar plays unbelievable. And I remember sitting here with you saying, I hope, I am praying that Rossi does not return back to Rui Patricio, because with the performance that Svilar just had, you have to reward the guy. You have to reward the guy. And he did.
Yeah.
And I mean, the amount of fruit that bore for the rest of the season is immense. You have saved yourself an immense headache for the summer. I can't underscore that enough in negotiation, getting somebody to settle, getting someone to learn the language.
That was crazy. Remember those links with Di Gregorio, yeah. with Falcone, you know, these fees yeah. flying around 20 million a year, 25, 30 million a year. I mean, where were Roma going to get those 25 right. million, 30 million to get a decent goalkeeper? You know, the solution was right there. Remember, John, what happened right before we faced Lazio in the Coppa Italia. Remember what Mourinho did? Miller Sviar was the starting goalkeeper in Coppa Italia. Remember yes. what Mourinho does against Lazio? He pulls him out of Roma's lineup and replaces him with Rui Patricio. And yes. that, to me, was the most baffling of decisions at the worst time that you could make such a decision, because that was a complete capitulation on Mourinho's part, as in a complete display of his lack of confidence in Sviar and his unreasonable belief that Rui Patricio could turn it around. So I would say yes. You know, when you ask me what the worst things are about this past season, what worst performance, I think I'm looking at Rui Patricio because of how clear his downfall had been. But I'm also thinking, yes, of like someone like Rick Karsdorp, you know, because this is a guy who's been here since 2018. He's been here a long time. Wait, no, he came in 2017. Yeah.
17, man. He came Ramon, in Ramon, I still have.
It's true. He came in 2017.
I still have my text messages with Ramon.
He came here in 2017, got injured. Okay, still, we're talking about a guy who's been here for 7 years. Yeah.
Yes.
You'd expect your right back, a guy who really, I mean, there's not much. I understand there is pressure on someone like Rui Patricio. There's not that much pressure on someone like Rick Karsdorp, especially with like Daniele De Rossi coming in. He still didn't turn it around. He still was underwhelming. He was still very poor. And he made costly, costly mistakes. And that's just something that can happen once, can happen twice. But with Karsdorp, it happened way too many times. In a game plan that, for Roma, relied so heavily on wingers, we had practically zero output. I mean, remember how happy we were with Angelino's arrival. First game, Angelino comes in. He gets like three accurate crosses. Assist. And we were in heaven. we were in heaven, we were going crazy, because that, even that, even something as basic as getting accurate crosses into the penalty area was unheard of for Roma. And that's something that I think goes and can be blamed on someone like Rick Carsdorp, who really concludes the season and likely his last season at Roma in the worst way possible. He still has one more year left on his contract, but I expect him to go. So I think Rui Patricio, Rick Carsdorp, I would say those are the biggest disappointments, along with Andrea Belotti, because to a different extent, because I think he should have provided something off the bench. And in the meantime, he got overshadowed by Sardar Azmoun.
Yes.
Who ended the season with three goals to his name. So it's not like Sardar Azmoun was this prolific goal scorer, but at least Sardar Azmoun, what he was doing on the pitch did not resemble the movements of a headless chicken, which is what Belotti was giving you the impression of. I think those are my biggest complaints for the Roma players this season. Now, if we look at the opposite of the good stuff, well, the good stuff, the good plays.
Say his name.
It all depends. Yes, well, but it's interesting.
Come on,
no?
Say it. I'm getting the tattoo. Paredes. Let's just say.
Leandro yes. Paredes. There we go. Leandro Paredes. I would say Leandro Paredes, which is a surprise also because of how night and day his season was. You would be
indicative of the season.
You'd be hard-pressed to find. I mean, think about it. Can you think of a single remarkable performance in the first 6 months of the season for
none.
Paredes?
No.
Under Jose Mourinho? There is none. No. There's literally, I thought about this the other day when I was thinking back about how impressive he was at the end of the season. And the first 6 months, it's just a black hole of nothing, of just disappointment, of slow decision-making, of poor passing. It's just awful and not helpful at all. Very, very indicative.
Remember how much ball they was playing over him?
Yes, exactly. So I would say that's another player, I think, Bove, that is sort of in the 50-50 area, because on one hand, you could say, well, the first 6 months, it was remarkable how much he'd grown, how important yes. he'd become for Roma. But I think, oh, and here it is, another honorable mention as to disappointments. I think José Mauar could be mentioned in the disappointments area. Just because of how poor the midfield was for long stretches of the season, and Mauar never got into a mojo. Never. And whenever he had the chance to get playing time, he repeatedly failed to show up. So I looked at his stats today, John. He made 16 appearances in Serie A, and he has 4 goals to his name. So it's rather impressive, you know, for a midfielder to have 4 goals to his name in 16 appearances. Yes. That's not that much. But can you remember a single performance where you went, wow, even when he scored goals? He scored against Cagliari, he scored against Fiorentina, he scored against Empoli. I mean, can you remember a single performance that made you turn your head and go, holy, he's got it? No, and that's a big disappointment. I think that's the big negative about this season is that the second lines proved ineffective. If our biggest positive of the bench is Sardar Azmoun, that's a problem. A guy with 3 goals to his name, that's a problem. Yeah. So with the good players, it's Leandro Paredes, who also has this night and day section in his season. Remember, Pellegrini, for 2 months, he looked like the second coming of Ronaldinho, Pellegrini, when De Rossi just right. started. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was unstoppable. Same with Spinazzola. Spinazzola was, for a brief amount of time, reborn. Oh.
Yes.
So, but I think, trying to look at the consistency, I would say Evan Dika, Gianluca Mancini, big, big positives, despite
Indica,
Roma's
yes.
defense becoming more fragile this season. Big, big positives for Ndika, who managed, unlike Aouar, he managed to grow into a role within Roma's starting 11. Remember, at the beginning, Ndika was sort of considered the replacement to Diego Llorente, to Chris Smalling, who was injured for the majority of the season. Now, that's another big call for the bad performers. And then I think... Another surprise call, I would say, because his statistics may not reflect that, but I would say Stefan El Shaarawy for me was a big positive. Because
I was about to say him too. Yes,
I was. You look at this season, you look at those numbers. They don't tell you a whole lot, but you look at the number of games he played, and that tells you something about his level of maturity this season. He's been consistent. He's been healthy. He's worked his ass off in all kinds of positions, in attack, yes, in defense. He was everywhere this season.
Yeah, I look at El Shaarawy much like I do as Moon. And you can't, and this sounds, again, you sound like a bit of a loser when you look at things through this lens, when you say, well, for an attacker, I don't look at the goals. You sound like an idiot, because by nature, that is their sole job, for the most part. That is a primary purpose, to score goals. But man, if you just rewatch that first leg at San Siro, what El Shaarawy did in that game was so, I won't even say under the radar, because Daniele De Rossi went out of his way to recognize the hard work he put in that match. And I think too, when you look at when he began to start a lot more, even he himself, he said, yeah, I should have scored more goals. He missed quite a few sitters, which I do recall. But you want to talk about the hard work. And, you know, you're not going to get that from Paulo Dybala. So you need one of your forwards to do that. You need a forward who is willing to track back. You need a forward who is going to get dirty like that. And he did it.
And look at his alternative in Zaleski. You know, Zaleski was the player who was supposed to give El Shaarawy a chance to breathe. And Zaleski left so much to be desired. Like, Zaleski's presence on the pitch highlighted how much you needed El Shaarawy this season. So Zaleski, that's another guy that I am afraid is on his way out, and rightly so, because that's another major
He has to go.
After last season, you thought maybe, like Belotti, he has it this time. Maybe he can get it together. No. So no even way. With Daniele De Rossi at the helm, even with De Rossi changing his position, changing his duties, making him bringing him a bit more forward, it didn't do much. Zaleski was still ineffective, and I think if Roma are going to sacrifice somebody, quotation marks. It would be Zaleski this summer.
Well, you have to. After the thing with Florenzi, I have set up a very staunch, unwavering camp in which, just because the guy is either Romano or comes to the Primavera, you don't get bonus points from me anymore. Okay, I'm done with that. That is the Romanista 1.0 sort of mindset. We can finish 15th as long as there's 11 Romanisti on the pitch. I am done entirely with that stupid mindset. Listen, he showed flashes early on. He just doesn't have it. I mean, you want to talk about the exact opposite of consistency, or even knowing what... Can you even tell me what his best position is? What his best role is? I can't tell you. 2 years and I can't tell you that.
Maybe we'll see it in the Euro with Poland. He'll figure it out, you know, because that's really his last chance for anything, even for a major, like for a significant transfer. Because what Zaleski has shown in these last two seasons, I mean, that's Sassuolo worthy. That's Serie B worthy. That's not a player that can handle himself in Serie A, unfortunately. So, and that's, I think, John, this brings us to sort of the final point of our show today, is the focus for the summer. We mentioned Karsdorp. We mentioned Zaleski. We can easily mention Christensen, and we can also mention Spinazzola, although Spinazzola did pretty well with De Rossi, but he's now set to become a free agent. Those are the positions that you have to address at all costs, because you cannot keep relying on a system that wants you to cross the ball, to get the ball to the striker from the wings and not have the wingers to do it, okay? You cannot rely on Zaleski, who has two assists to his name in over 80 appearances for Roma to be effective, to get the game plan rolling. You cannot. So I think that's going to be the focus for Ghisolfi, the new technical director. That's going to be the focus for Daniele De Rossi. If there's one thing that I'm pretty fairly certain Roma can agree on, is that the wingbacks, the fullbacks, that's the area of focus. Everything else, I think, is secondary. But this problem, the issue of not having anybody, except for Angelino probably, to cross the ball decently and get an assist, it has been plaguing Roma for far too long. This is the summer where it has to change.
Oh, absolutely. Those are needs. I'm very curious to see, obviously, what they do at striker. This thing with Tammy Abraham, I realistically don't know what you can do. It is very unfair. I always think back to that first season with him and how good he was. Obviously, another drop off in the second season. If you get anything, even if you are offered even half of what you get because of amortization, you already have three seasons of it on the books. You can easily, when I say make your money back, people are going to say you're not getting 40 million euros for him. No, I'm talking about from an accounting standpoint. You can easily do that. Obviously, you're not getting Romelu Lukaku back, particularly with no Champions League. It's not going to happen. The biggest factor this summer for me is going to Paulo Dybala. Are you in or are you out? What is happening? Somebody of his stature, it is very unfair, in my opinion, for us to expect a guy to stay for a fourth season in a row with no Champions League. He is a guy worthy of Champions League. And I would not fault him. I would not be angry. Obviously, I would be disappointed because Roma would have to replace that. But you can in no way fault him should he choose to move on. Player of his caliber has to be in the Champions League.
I think you can also argue in Roma's favor in this case, whereas Roma, they do not need to feel compelled to make him an offer to stay longer than what he's expected to stay. From the reports, there is also an option that could become active if he reaches 50% of all games next season. That would extend his contract for one additional year. That's enough. That's enough for a player who's about to turn 31, who has been injured in key moments of the season repeatedly in two consecutive years. This season, he missed once again the game against Bayer Leverkusen, Atalanta. Those are key games for the season. So you can't blame Paulo Dybala for questioning his future, and also Roma for being a bit reluctant in satisfying all of his agent's demands, which are probably quite considerable. So those are the areas, you know. I think this summer, despite the limited means, can be exciting for people who know how to manage their expectations, because there is a lot to repair. There is a lot to repair, but at least you have the awareness that something was not working this season. That's the most evident thing about this season, is that it was just an amalgamation of bad ingredients that didn't fit, and nothing worked out in the end. In the end, it was a long, arduous season, and you came away empty-handed, and you finished sixth without any Champions League football yet again.
I couldn't have said it better. Yes, I agree. We will leave it there. Back in a few days. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.